So this week is Parshas Boy, and in this Sedra we get the first mitzvah of the Torah, the first mitzvah that the Yidden are commanded. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, God speaks to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and he says to them, Achodesh Hazeh Lechem, this month is for you the first month. So the way the pasuk is set up, it says HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, this month is for you Rosh Chodoshim, it's the head month, Rishon Hu, it's the beginning, Lochem, for you L'Chodshei Hashana, for the months of the year. So there are many questions about the construction of this pasuk. You know, there's two lechems, twice it says for you, and if the Torah already tells us Rosh Chodoshim, why does it need to say Rishon? Rosh and Rishon. Why is something Rosh and Rishon? The Megal Amukos asks, why does it begin with a hey and end with a hey and have exactly so many letters and so many words? And the Gemara says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, that Moshe had difficulty with Rosh Chodesh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaChodesh Hazeh, that Moshe had niskasha, Moshe had a question about what the moon looks like and exactly when the new moon begins and what is Rosh Chodesh, and so God shows him. So there are three things that Moshe didn't know or couldn't figure out until he was shown. And the three things are actually an otarikon of Moshe's name. Menorah. The menorah says, this is the menorah that you should make. Because Moshe couldn't figure out what the menorah looks like until HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him. That's the mem. The shin is the shekel. It says, Zayitnu, this is what they should give. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him a shekel of fire, or a half shekel of fire, and because Moshe didn't know what a shekel looks like. And then the third one is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. So Mem Shin Hei, Menorah Shekel HaChodesh, the month. And it's interesting that these three words, Menorah ends in the letter He, Shkolim ends in the letter Mem, and HaChodesh ends in the letter Shin, which spells Moshe. So the Megal Amukos says that Moshe's kasha, Moshe's question, is the same question all the way through. His question, the way the Megal Amukos puts it, he brings a posuk. It says, "Ki yignoiv ish shoyr oiseh." If a man steals a posuk in Mishpotim, if a man steals an ox or a sheep, utvochai, and he butchers it, oimachoroi, or he sells it, Chamisha bokar yishalem tachas hashoy. He has to pay 5 cattle for the ox that he stole. Va'arba tzoyim tachas haseh. And 4 sheep for the sheep that he stole. So he says, ki yignoiv ish shoyr, if you steal a man who is an ox, not if a man steals an ox. Ki yignoiv ish shoyr. Who is the man who's an ox? Of course, that refers to Yosef. So if you steal a man who's an ox and you sell him, then you have to pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. Yosef is also Noi Ketzon Yosef. Yosef is the sheep and he's the ox. So there were 5 brothers, the sons of Leah, who sold him. So they're the ox for the ox. And there's the 4 brothers who are the sons of the handmaidens of Bilhah Zilpah. And they're the 4 sheep for the sheep. Now we know a shekel, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisiso, Esrim Geiro HaShekel, that a shekel is the weight of 20 geiro. So a half a shekel is 10 geiro. So that was Moshe's question. He says, Ribbon Shalom, why 10 geiro lechaper, to atone, should only be 9? And here we come back to the big question that the Migal Amukos and his student Reb Shimshon Ostropola are dealing with their whole life, which is the Mechira of Yosef, the sale of Yosef by his brothers, and how God implicates himself, folds himself. The word implicate means to fold. He folds himself into the act and into the oath that they made not to tell Yaakov, and God himself becomes part of the conspiracy to sell Yosef down into Egypt and to precipitate the events that occur as a consequence. So Moshe doesn't understand. So HaKadosh Baruch says Zayitnu. And HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, the Megala Mukhi says it's the same thing. Why is the moon small? Why is the moon diminished? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we were learning when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, Heviu Kapora Olai Shemiatati Yasayireach, God says, bring a sin offering for me that I diminished the moon. And then when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we were talking about how that diminution, you know, we know that from the dream that Yosef has, that his father is a Shemesh. He says, I dreamt that the sun and the moon bow down to me and the stars. And his father says, well, Havoy Novoy, am I and your mother going to come and bow down to you? So we know that Yaakov is the sun, but Rochel is the moon. Rochel is associated with Yosef because she's the mother of Yosef. Lochem Roish Chadoshim, the words for you, head month, you know, is Reish Lamed Ches, which is Rochel. So again, Moshe doesn't understand what is going on with the sale of Yosef and why God implicates himself in the sale of Yosef. What is the meaning of this story? And of course, the Gemara Menachos that talks about when Moshe comes up into heaven and he sees God tying the crowns to the letters, and then it turns out that it's for the sake of Rabbi Akiva, and Moshe is shown the life and death of Rabbi Akiva, and he asks, Zu Torah v'zu Sechora, is this the Torah and the reward? How could that be? And God says, Shtok. Be quiet, be silent. Kach Ola b'machashova, this is how it arose in the thought that the death of Rabbi Akiva is the expiation of God's own guilt for the diminution of the moon and for the sale of Yosef, which amounts to the same thing. Again, Moshe doesn't understand. The Megal Amukah says, and the third thing is the Menorah. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Well, you need us to light something? You need us to make light for you? I mean, you are the source of the light. You are the light. You need Hala Oiro Kitzorech. You need us to light candles or, you know, lamps? I don't understand. So these three things are tied together. Why? Because Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov, God sees the light that is good. And we know that ki toiv is Yosef, a tzaddik, imre tzaddik ki toiv. The tzaddik is the toiv. The tzaddik is the toiv. The tzaddik is the goodness. So God looks at the light and he sees the tzaddik. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was also the tzaddik ki toiv. Vatera oise ki toiv, as we talked in previous weeks about his mother sees him, that he's good, and the Gemara says the whole house was filled with light. But Moshe and Yosef have the same, they share this, because Yosef is the toiv. So I want to talk a little bit this week about the meaning of toiv. And the Megal Amukas, he says something a little bit controversial, in the sense that he quotes the Zohar and he goes exactly against the Zohar. The Zohar is in Shmois Kusamet Ches Amet Beis. The Zohar says, Amai Ikre Toiv V'Amai Ikre Chesed. Why do we have two words for one concept, Toiv and Chesed? Are they the same thing, or aren't they the same thing? We say, Ach Toiv V'Chesed Yir Defuni Kol Yimei Chayi, in Psalm 23, goodness and chesed, loving kindness, should accompany me and surround me all the days of my life. So, is it toiv or is it chesed, or is there a difference? So the Zohar says, toiv iu kad kolil koile begavei. Toiv contains everything that is within it. Velo ispashet lenachto lesato, and it toiv doesn't allow anything to go downwards. Chesed, kadnachso lesato. Chesed is when everything goes down and it flows downwards. Va'ovit tivu b'kol birion, and chesed does its work. It flows, loving kindness flows to all creatures, b'tzadike u'b'rishie v'lochayish, to the good and to the wicked, to the saint and to the wicked person. Chesed does not care. It doesn't distinguish. It doesn't discriminate against the bad, and it doesn't discriminate in favor of the good. The tzaddik and the rosha are both recipients of chesed. V'lo chayish, doesn't care. V'af agav d'dar gochatu, and even though it's one level, toiv and chesed are one level, how do we know? Min olan d'chtiv, ach toiv chesed yiridufuni. From Psalm 23, but good and loving kindness will pursue me. Itoiv. Lama chesed. If it says good, why does it have to say chesed? Vi chesed lama toiv. And if it's chesed, why does it have to say toiv? Du b'chad sagi, one of them would be enough. Elo, toiv kolil kol begava. Toiv contains everything inside itself. Velo ispashit lesato. And it doesn't go down. Chesed nochis v'ispashit lesato. Chesed, however, flows downwards. V'zon kol tzadika reshia kechado, and it feeds and nourishes the good and the wicked together. The Megal Amukas says something completely different. He says, "Ach toiv chesed yiridufuni, shemidas hachesed nikras kishehi lemal." Chesed is when something is above. Avol midas hatoiv hu liten hatoiv lemato, but the midah of toiv is to bring it down into this world. And that's what it says in Tehillim, in Psalm 25, Kechazdecho zuchor li, remember me, like, you know, with your kindness, ato, now, leman tuvcho, for the sake of your goodness. And that's, according to the Megal Amukas, that's why we say in the benching, in the grace after the meal, we say, Hazonis ha'olam kuloi, who feeds the whole world, betuvoi, with his goodness. And then you add with grace and loving kindness and compassion. So first there has to come the toiv, the goodness. And then when the toiv is in the world, then the chesed can come to the world as well. And that's why he says, Hoidu Lashem ki toiv, praise God because he is good. Ki lo'olam chasdei, because When God is good, that's when chesed flows to the world. Which would seem to be in direct contradiction to the Zohar. So, the Megal HaMukos says, there's something going on here as a subtext that we're not always aware of. You know, I could be a doctor and I could invent a cure for cancer. Who's going to enjoy it? Well, unfortunately, Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, and Tayyip Erdogan, the prime minister of Turkey, they're going to enjoy the cure for cancer too. Right? So the chesed of the doctor, the scientist who spends his whole life trying to discover a cure for this terrible illness, you know, it's a true example of how a chesed can just flow into the world, and it's for both. So what does it mean, chesed, then? Because why would I want to keep alive this wicked, why would I want to save the life of somebody who just wants to kill all the Eden? So Megal HaMukos says, you know, if a doctor wants to be a Baal Chesed, you know, a surgeon, can you imagine a surgeon? So he saves somebody's life, right? He saves somebody's life, he opens up the head and he takes out a tumor from the brain, and you know, all that the person experiences is pain. The patient, all he knows, I mean, of course, on an intellectual level, he knows that he's been saved from a very serious brain tumor that was going to kill him, right? But his physical experience of this great chesed is just pain. Had his head knocked open and sawed open with a saw, and, you know, the toiv is when the doctor gives him an aspirin or whatever, you know, to take away the pain. That's the toiv. And the toiv, which is the way that the doctor touches the patient. You know, I can have my hands inside somebody's brain, but I didn't really touch this person. When he says, "Doctor, I'm hurting," and I give him a tablet and a glass of water, and he takes it and he goes, "Ah, I feel better." That toiva, that little goodness, is what makes the whole chesed flow. So, another example, I can be the greatest chef in the world, the most cordon bleu chef, and I make the most delicious tasting food, and I write a recipe book, and I teach people how to cook this amazing food. It's the grace of chesed. But you know something? Until I give somebody a piece of bread and butter on their plate and I say, "Nah, eat," I didn't do a toiva yet. So the chesed is not nislabish, doesn't really become real until the chef actually gives somebody a plate of food in front of them. It doesn't have to be that great recipe, right? It doesn't have to have that greatness in it. It has to have realness in it. So the two who are able to embody this idea is Avraham, who is chesed. But you know, Avraham's chesed is so great that it is capable of pleading for the whole of Sodom, for these wicked people. It's capable of pleading on their behalf with God, "Please, Rabbeinu Shelayim, I'm asking, if you're the judge, if you're a justice, if this is justice, how could you kill everybody?" And God says, "You know, if I find 50 if I find 50 good people, I'll spare this whole mess, this whole corrupt society, this whole country that I'll spare for the sake of 50 people. So Avram doesn't say, no, that's not what I meant. I mean, save the good people. Yeah, get rid of the bad people. No, he doesn't. Avram Avinu, because he embodies chesed. Avram Avinu knows that this chesed, you know, can really be very destructive, right? Because, you know, the chesed that saved Hitler from the bombs and the people that wanted to kill him, you know, how many plots there were against his life, and chasde chasodim, right? Oh, these amazing loving kindnesses that he escaped, gewalt, fantastic. Was it good? No, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. The goodness is Yosef. And the reason that the goodness is Yosef is because the goodness of Avraham is at some point you can have the goodness of Chesed that is in the upper Sephirois. It can be a goodness that you talk. But Yosef, as Midas Yisod, Yosef, you know, he's represented by this ninth sphere, the sphere of connection. What's the difference between the sphere of connection of the mouth and the tongue and the speech and the sphere of connection of the genitals, which Yosef represents? It's because Yosef's connection, you have to touch. You can't just speak to somebody and say I love you. That is a connection of between the 10 fingers of the hand. That is the per malchus and the tongue, which is your sight. Yosef's toiv is the most, it's a touch. You can't escape being touched and touching another person. Avram Avinu never went to Saddam. He never knew anybody who went to Saddam. He wasn't involved with anybody in Saddam except that his nephew Nebuch Lot had gone connected himself to the people of Saddam. But Avram would never have gone to Saddam in his life, and yet he's davening for them. And Avram's Chesed is that chesed which comes out through speech. If Avram needed to touch somebody in Saddam, that would have been different. There's a medrash rabbu, and the medrash says, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Simon posach kari b'doris. It's talking about the second verse in Genesis, and the earth was waste and void and barren, and there was darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. So Rabbi Yehuda says this verse refers to the generations that are going to be coming later. V'ha'aretz ha'isa soihu, and the earth was void, chaos. Ze Adam Arishan. That refers to Adam. Shehoya lelama v'loy klum. The whole Adam Arishan was worthless. He was for what? He was for nothing. Boyhu. Void. Ze Kayin. This is Adam's son, Kayin, who kills Hevel. Shebikesh lahachzir es ha'olam l'toyu v'voy. He practically returns the whole world back to chaos and void. V'choshech. Darkness. Oh, this is the generation of Enosh, who starts to worship the idols. Al pnei tohoim, and there was darkness on the face of the abyss. What's the abyss? Oh, this is the generation of the flood. As it's written, on that day they opened up all the founts of the depths of the abyss. The ruach alikim rachefes al pnei amayim, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the water. And this is the flood itself, God hovering over the water. Oma hakodesh bocha. So God says, Ad mosai. How long is this going to go on? Tovoy ha'oira, come on, let's have some light already. So Adam, Cain, Enosh, Dor HaMabul, It's just a waste of time. And God said, let there be light. This is Avraham. And the Medrash brings an interesting posuk. Mi heir mi mizrach tzedek. Who aroused from the east tzedek? Righteousness. So the word heir is written heayin yudresh. So the Medrash says, Al tikro heir, don't read it as aroused with an ayin, elo heir with an aleph, to enlighten. We know that Adam was clothed in light, and with his sin of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, v'yas likim la'adam l'chava kosnois oir, he makes them tunics of leather, of skin. So the oir, the aleph of reish, which is light, becomes oir, ayin vav reish, which is skin. And the Gemara says that in the Torah of Rabbi Meir, the oir was written with an aleph. So it still read light. Avraham is the first fixing of Adam. And so Avraham has the ability to change, to fix the oir, the ayin, to an aleph. And that's really what the Medrash is saying here. That's what the Medrash is implying here. So that even though Adam, by doing what he does, he changes the skin from light to leather, right? From the most transparent to the most opaque, Avraham comes and changes the ayin back to an aleph. Now, the other one who changes the ayin to the aleph is Yosef ben Poiros alei oyin, says the Megala Amukis. Yosef also has this ability to change the ayin back to an aleph, to change the skin back to the light. And Avraham is known as Tzedek, and every ger, Avraham was the first ger, the first convert, the first proselyte, and all gerim are called geri tzedek. Because they are like descendants of Avraham, who is tzedek, and Yosef is Sholem. And we know from Psalm 85 that tzedek and Sholem have to kiss. Chesed ve'emes nifkeshu, that chesed and emes, they struggle, they fight, they have an encounter, but when they get out of their own way, then tzedek v'sholem nashoku. Tzedek and peace. And Yosef tells his brothers, alu l'sholem la'avichem. You know, Yosef is the one who can make peace, even though Nebuch, his brothers thought of him as just the opposite. You know, as the Ishbitzer says, wherever Dvorai samti b'ficho, God says, wherever I put my words into your mouth, Seil yodi kisisicha, I cover you with the shadows. So, of course, what do the brothers accuse Yosef of? They accuse him of splitting the family. They accuse him of, you know, coming between them and their father, and in a classic psychopathic, some kind of episode that you know, he can't help himself. He has to split them off from their father and try and keep the father's attention on him because of his narcissism, and he can only see himself. The brothers really thought about Yosef that he was like the psoilus. You know, he was just like Avraham. You know, has Yitzhak, but he also has Yishmael, and just like Yitzhak has Yaakov, but you know, he also has Esav. So Yaakov has these great children, but you know, he also has Yosef. That was their interpretation of him. Then when they sell him, and they come back and they try and worship God, and they realize they can't. They can't. because Yosef is the one who makes all the connections for them. You can't touch, and you can't be touched. You can't worship. You can't connect without Midas Yisod. Everything has to pass through Yisod. And when he's gone, it's gone. And so they bring the Ksonis Pasim. They bring this coat that his father had made him, which was a symbol of the cloak that God made for Adam of skin and leather, that his father recognized in Yosef that he has this ability to transform. And so the beginning of the fixing of Adam is Avraham, like the Medrash says, and the end of the fixing of Adam is Yosef. And that's why Yosef is so beautiful, because he's Me'en Shufri de Adam Arishin. You know, Adam was the work of the hands of God. You know, it's like a sculpture made by God himself. And Yosef has that quality. You know, when we look at Yosef, you know, we're overcome with this beauty that is unearthly. Well, of course it is unearthly, because he looks as though he's been fashioned by, you know, the great Sayar, the great artist. And Yosef is the one who shows us how ultimately we all get involved in the fixing of the sin of Adam Arishon, which was these holy sparks that had come down and that were lost in Egypt. And of course, by the time we leave Egypt, Vayinatzlus Mitzrayim kimitzula she'im b'dogim, the Gemara says we emptied out Egypt like a fish pond that has no fish left in it. And Yosef gathered together all the silver in the land, and these the silver fish and the silver that Yosef gathers, and all these things are metaphors for the desire that we talked about, which is really what happens when Adam eats from the tree of knowledge. Then all desire becomes mixed of good and evil. There is no such thing anymore as a pure unleavened desire. Everything is mixed. And so Vayisem Ba'orem B'Mitzrayim, Yosef gets buried inside in an ark inside the water, and it's from the water that Moshe takes him out, like the Medrash says. There has to be a connection from beginning to end between Avraham and Yosef. And so the Gemara tells us Moshe Oymed B'Pesach Rishon, Moshe is standing at the first Pesach, V'doyrish B'Pesach Sheni. The Gemara talks about, we know that when Moshe was talking at the first year that we came out of Egypt, that we made Pesach, it says, and there were some people who were Tomei L'Nefesh Adam, and they came to Moshe, they said, we can't make Pesach because we are unclean, we've been carrying this dead body. What was the dead body? The dead body was the bones of Yosef. And so Moshe tells them, right, you don't make Pesach because you're unclean, you've been touching a dead body, but there's another Pesach, Pesach Sheni, the little Pesach, which happens exactly a month after the first Pesach. So Moshe has to talk about the second Pesach when on the day that they make the first Pesach. Because the first Pesach, each of the three Yom Tovs, represents the three fathers of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, is Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Pesach is Avraham, Shavuos is Yitzchak, and Sukkos is Yaakov. But you can't make Pesach according to Avraham without also invoking the Pesach according to Yosef. And so Moshe stands there telling us about Pesach Rishon, but also about Pesach Sheni. Because Avram and Yosef are the two sides, because Avram is Chesed and Yosef is Toiv. And you can't really have Chesed flowing into the world unless there's been some real toiv. You know, the Zohar Kodesh is talking about the toiv which is higher than chesed. What's higher than chesed? Higher than chesed on the tree of life, on the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is chokhmah. So higher than chesed, we say in benching, Baruch Elokeinu she'achalnu mishaloi uvetuvoi chayinu. The Zohar Kodesh says, why do we say uvetuvoi, not umituvoi? Because umituvoi would be a derivative of toiv, from his toiv. Betuvoi is that toiv, and that's where we come about with this, what we were learning before, that toiv is somehow more general and more inclusive and more locked down than chesed. But that's because the toiv we're talking there is about the sefira of chokhmah. What the Megal Amuk is saying is that that's all very nice, but none of it happens unless you touch somebody, unless you physically touch somebody with your chesed. You put a plate of food in front of them, give them a kiss, a hug. That's the chesed of Yosef. And Yosef hu ha-mashbir. Why is Yosef the one who feeds the whole family? He feeds the whole world. Because the Tiferes Shloimeh, the Radomska, says that every morning, after Reb Zusha of Anipoli, there were two brothers, Reb Zusha, Reb Lemelech, that after he said Birchas HaTorah, after he said the Brochos, first thing in the morning, he would go out into the marketplace and go looking for Yid. And it didn't matter what Jew he found, and in Anipoli in the marketplace on a, you know, 5 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, the kind of Yid that you're likely to find there is, you know, somebody who doesn't have a place in shul, right? But Reb Zusha would go out and he would find somebody to be manik, lahonik. He needed to give somebody the chesed. He had to give somebody some of the kindness and the love that he was invoking. Otherwise, it was just intellectual. It was just, oh God, I'm worshipping you, and it's very nice, and you're the great chesed, bal chesed, and yeah, and for Reb Zusha, that was no good. He had to do like the Megal Amuk says, he had to give somebody a chesed. He had to say to them, you, my friend, are going to have a blessed day. And that person on that day would have the most amazing, successful, beautiful day. Why? Because Reb Zusha connected him. And the Reb Zusha didn't do it so much for him as for the whole concept of chesed. Because chesed, unless there's a toiv, unless you do somebody a toiv. And Reb Shlomo used to talk about meeting this Piasetz Nechosid, and he said to him, can you tell me over, if you tell me over one Torah that you heard from the Rebbe, I'll tell it in all the streets of the world. And the man said, you know, what can I tell you? What do I remember? I remember that after the Rebbe said Torah on Friday night and Shabbos at the table, and we were all children sitting there, we didn't understand. So the Rebbe said, Gedenkche Kinderlech. Remember, children, everything I'm saying all boils down to one thing. The greatest Zach in the world, the greatest thing in the world, is Situn Yenema Toivu. You do somebody a favor. That's what this whole Torah is about. Do somebody a favor. All these words, all this Kabbalah, all this Chassidus, all this Lomdus, the whole Gemara, it boils down to do somebody a favor already. And that's what the Piasetzner Rebbe would say to all these hundreds of children who were sitting there, Gedenk Chikindelech, the greatest Zach in the world is Tzitin Yanema Toive. My Elter Zayda, I'm named after Reb Heschel Berkovich. He was a chosid of Reb Shaila of Kerestur. And Reb Shaila had such pleasure in feeding people. And he, all the Rebbes, even in Poland, wherever, they would say, the keys to Parnusa, Reb Shaila of Kerestur, if you're having trouble with Parnusa, the Belzer Rebbe would say, don't come to me, I can't help you with that. You know, you need to go to Kerestur in Hungary, and Reb Shaila, he's got the keys to Parnusa. Why did Reb Shaila have the keys to Parnusa? Because he used to get such pleasure from seeing people eat and enjoy themselves. And in fact, he would get up before dawn and he would feed the chickens. You know, strangers would come a long way from all over to Kerestir to be with the Rebbe for davening, because his Rebbe Shaila Kerestir's avoida, his worship, was like fire and water together. It was like the holy hail that came down in the Makkah of Borod. It was like fire and water and ice and snow and volcanoes all wrapped up together. That was his avoida by davening. But before davening, he would go feed the chickens, because somebody who describes the scene says, I see this Yid in a Talis Kutin, and you know, he's just standing there with one foot on the gate with a bucket in his hand, and he's throwing, you know, grain to the chickens, and then some to, you know, putting some hay there for fodder for the cow, and just standing there taking pleasure. And I say to him, where's the Rebbe? And he says, oh, the Rebbe's inside. You'll find him. You'll see him later. The Rebbe didn't shake hands with him or anything, because he was busy feeding the chickens, because it gave him such pleasure to see creatures eat. And that's the secret of having the keys to Parnusa, to being able to help people, to connect them with the Chesed, and to bring down miracles from the other world. It's just, you get pleasure from helping somebody and from doing a little toivah. And that's the middah of Yosef. And it occurred to me that on Pesach night at the Seder, we have this Zech LeMikdash Kehillel, Kein Ose Hillel Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYikayim, that we take matzah and moror and we make a sandwich, and we say this is like Hillel Paskind, that when you eat the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, you actually have to eat it as part of a sandwich with matzah wrapped in leaves of moro. And even though we don't have the Paschal Lamb, the Pesach anymore, we still wrap matzah with moro. We take some romaine lettuce leaves and wrap matzah in it. And then we say, Kein Ose Hillel Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYikayim. This is what Hillel used to do at the time when the temple used to still stand, and we were eating L'kayim Mashenema, in order to fulfill the biblical verse Al Matzois Umeroirim Yoichluhu, to eat the Korban Pesach HaMatzah Mor. And this pasuk doesn't appear this week in the Sedra. Moshe says Umatzois Al Meroirim Yoichluhu. In Pashas Boy, where we're told about eating the Korban Pesach and all the dinim, it doesn't say that pasuk, that Hillel. So in the past I was thinking that Hillel was telling us that we're going to have a second chance, that even though the temple is doomed, and because people, you know, can't get along with one another and just can't avoid hating one another, and therefore, you know, this whole thing is not going to last. Nevertheless, we shouldn't give up hope, because Pesach Sheni tells us that there's always a second chance. And so even when he was sitting there, when the Migdash, Beis HaMikdash was still extant, he was already eating it with in mind that, you know, it's going to happen again, and we're going to come around again and be able to eat Korban Pesach again. But now it occurs to me that Hillel is saying, like the Megala Mukos, that you can't eat the Korban Pesach on Pesach without also connecting with the Korban Pesach of Yosef. And the Korban Pesach of the first Pesach is Avraham. But you know, for Avraham, what does it mean, boiker? For Avraham, boiker, morning, means dawn. Vayokam Avraham baboiker, you know, the Gemara says, Avraham is a zoriz. Avraham is very, very, very quick. You know, he gets up like he's already got his donkey all saddled up to go with Yitzhak in the fire and everything. He's already to go a minute after the dawn. Yosef's boiker is till noon. It's a big difference. Yosef's boiker is 6 hours long. His morning is 6 hours long. Yeah, Avraham Avinu's morning is like 10 minutes, because after that it's already too late for Avraham. And yet, Yosef, his Pesach is called Pesach Koton, right? It's the small Pesach, because Yosef is the young brother. Yosef is the small brother, because he's the one who's been diminished. because he's the moon. And nevertheless, he and Avraham are the two who have a hey that is added to their name. Avraham becomes Avraham and Yosef becomes Behi Yosef. And he has, so that this verse of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem has the hey at the beginning and the hey at the end. And of course the hey also refers to the five books of the Torah, which are the beginning, and then there's the five students of Rabbi Akiva at the end, which is the source of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So there's the written Torah, which is five, and there's the oral Torah, which is five, which is Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Hudi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shim Baichoy, and Rabbi Lezer B'Shamu, or according to others, is another one. But Rabbi Akiva is there in the second hay. And in fact, in the name of God, the first hay is Avraham, and the second hay is Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu understands all this. And Moshe Rabbeinu, whenever he's talking about Pesach, Pesach Rishon, he's also connecting with Pesach Sheni. And you and I, from the whole Torah, we can learn this one thing, right? That we could talk about Toiv as being a very lofty concept, but really, ultimately, the Toiv is when you do somebody a favor. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't become Moshe Rabbeinu until he saves this lamb. It says that he chased the lamb, Achatzon. He goes after them because this one lamb had got lost and he wouldn't give up. So he's taking care of the flock, but he just can't go back to his father-in-law's house because there's a lamb missing. He knows that somewhere there's a lamb in distress. And so he goes looking for it and looking for it and looking for it until he comes to the burning bush. And what happened to the lamb? Moshe Rabbeinu picks up the lamb, and that's when he sees the burning bush. Because it's the moment that you do somebody a favor that all the chesed starts to open up. And so the great beginning of everything is also connected to the great end of everything. And we can transform the skin into the light just by doing somebody a favor. We can become completely, totally transparent to look like Adam HaRishon just by doing somebody a favor. Shkoyach, thank you.